right, the Senate Human Services Committee will come to order. It is a day. It is Wednesday, April 26th. It's not 1 o'clock. It is 1:18. Our floor ran long. We announced it on the floor and then realized maybe the word did not sprinkle down to everybody else, so we apologize for any inconvenience. I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3160.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3160 permits an individual with limited vision to carry and use a white cane on highways and at other public places. It defines limited vision and it modifies the definition of blind. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Wonderful. Representative Doherty.
Thank you.
Yes, it has been a hectic day. But for the record, I'm Representative Margaret Doherty, and I'm the state representative for House District 35, which is Tigard in Southwest Portland. And I bring you this bill today on part of my constituent, Ruth Ann Lidman, and also one of our former colleagues, Representative Jean Cowan. But the one thing with the white cane bill is actually the current law reads, and by the way, this came out of the House unanimously, but the white cane bill reads that you can have a white cane if you have like 20/200 vision, which means that us with normal vision, what we see at 20 feet or at 200 feet, they can only see at 20 feet, and that's where you come with that sort of thing. So what the bill does is it changes it to more of a 20/70 for people, because we have more and more people with macular degeneration. We have our population is getting a little older, and so for safety and so on, this bill was brought to me by Ruth Ann. And so we hope that the committee will pass it on. It'll go on to the Senate, and that will be as popular on the Senate floor as it was on the House. But it's a very good bill that will help an awful lot of your constituents. So I'm open for questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Representative Doherty? Seeing none, thank you very much
for your time.
All right, next we have Jean Cowan, Ruth Ann Lidman, and Nan Heim.
Which one's easiest? Would you like to start? Nan has a time commitment, so if it's all right with the chair, we'll let her go first.
Of course. Thank you, Chair Gilser, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. My name is Nan Heim, and I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Academy of Ophthalmology in support of House Bill 3160A. Our members are eye physicians and surgeons, about 200 of them all over the state. And last week, I was meeting with our president. I serve as their executive director as well as their lobbyist. We were planning next year's education conference. And he said, Nan, we have got to get the best retina faculty that we can, because every day we are seeing more and more patients with macular degeneration as the baby boomers age. So we are very happy to endorse this bill, not only for my friend Ruth Ann, but for, unfortunately, an increasing number of Oregonians who are contacting this terrible condition. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to excuse myself.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Gelser and my friends on the panel. I am Jean Cowan, and I'm happily retired in Newport, former representative from House District 10. Ruth Ann is a longtime friend of mine as well as a colleague. Many of you will probably remember her time staffing me here at the Capitol. And after we both retired, her macular degeneration took a rapid downward turn, and she came to me one day, not surprisingly, when it was recommended that she start using a white cane. She researched ORS and discovered that she was not legal, that we are running around illegally because she has limited vision. She is not fully blind at this point. And so we said to ourselves, let's see if we can't do something about that. And all this bill does is change the law to include those with a specific limited vision.
There were amendments added on the House side, and those were at the request of the Association for the Deaf because they're changing some language in the law whenever there's a vehicle to do so. What used to read blind and deaf now reads deaf-blind, and that was their request. We were happy to accommodate that for these sections of the law. And I thought maybe I should explain what those amendments were. Beyond that, as has been already well stated, she is far from unique. Many people struggle with this disability as well as other visual challenges, and Ruth has some interesting numbers from her retina specialist about the number of people that they see just on a yearly basis here. So I will turn it over to Ruth Ann.
Thank you very much.
Ruth Ann Ledman from Tigard. And obviously I'm here to support the limited vision addition to the current ORS. At present time, I'm a client for the Oregon Commission for the Blind, and I was recently tested there as having 20/160. Putting together both eyes is the way they measure it. To me, I say I'm three quarters blind at this point. Because the right eye is totally blind now, it alters my perception of where things are. You saw me just hit the microphone, in fact. And so my physical therapist, who I was seeing for a totally different reason, said, "You're wobbling. I want you to start using a cane." And that led to, well, how about a white cane? And here I am. The testimony that I submitted ahead of time details, in some extent, the rapid decline of my vision in the right eye, which my retina specialist found to be the most aggressive version he had ever seen. It also details my recent activities to maintain my independence as long as possible. And the combination of the rapid decline plus a fierce need to want to be independent has led me to wanting to let you know that I think we need this little bit of a tweak to the current laws to keep it, to make it safe to walk around my neighborhood and to be able to go down to the shopping center on the corner where I have to cross the street, that kind of thing. I would like to read from an email that Dr. Brian Chan Kai wrote to me. He said he just, there was no way he could come down and testify. And I certainly understand that because he's been double booked for months when I go in. There are two of us scheduled into one time slot. And this is directly from the email that he wrote. "I can tell you that personally, I did approximately 7,000 intraocular injections last year. My partner will have done around the same number. We are not unique in that regard. Excuse me. Thank you. I'm certain the other busy retina practices in town," and he refers to Oregon Health Sciences University and Retina Northwest, "are seeing approximately the same volume per practitioner as I am. The need for this type of retina treatment is very large, and by extension, there is a large number of people who struggle with visual acuity as you do," referring to me. "I would therefore expect that your bill would reach and benefit a significant number of people. And that's a quote directly from an email from Dr. Brian Chan Kai, MD, sent to me. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I have one.
Senator Olson.
I always have a question. I'm sorry. This is a case here, and this is going to be surprising coming from me, that I believe that this bill should have an emergency clause on it so it takes effect immediately.
Thank you.
And I would suggest that we could talk to the authors of the bill and see if they would be willing that we could amend it on this side to put it in, if you would be okay with it.
Certainly. I'm quite certain the authors of the bill would have no objection to that. Primarily Representative
Yeah, to
Doherty.
Be real honest with you, I'm not really a fan of emergency clauses.
No, this isn't I can see that your colleagues are questioning
this. Yeah, this is an extraordinary...
We have an imposter.
Yeah. This is an extraordinary bill where I think it would be beneficial to have it take effect immediately rather than wait till the 1st of January. My opinion. Madam Chair, if we could...
I have no objection to that. If you wouldn't mind checking with Representative Doherty and asking for it, and then we had it scheduled for a work session today, but we can work it on Monday instead with the emergency clause.
All right. Well, it's up to the committee.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. I like your idea.
I don't see any reason that this bill should be delayed. I mean, it's instantaneous help.
When Senator Olson offers an emergency clause, I think
yes.
We should take the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, thank you very much. We certainly would not turn down your offer. We will not in person be here to see it through a work session on Monday. This is a bit of a round trip when I drive to Tigard to pick up Ruth Ann to bring her down here
since
from Newport.
So, right.
But we very much appreciate your support and would certainly like to see this in effect as soon as possible.
Right. Well, we will do that then.
Good to see you. Great to see you both.
Both
yes.
of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We miss you very much.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on House Bill 3160? And so, Matt, can you go ahead and schedule that for Monday?
All
yeah.
Right. If we can get the amendment.
If we can get the amendment. Why don't you go ahead and request the emergency clause?
Okay.
Yeah, just do that so it gets done and... Will you check with Representative Doherty?
Sure, absolutely.
We'll be good. All right. So I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3160 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2347.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2347 extends the authority of DHS to offer resources to individuals eligible for certain TANF programs until July 1st, 2019. It extends the suspension of an increase in cash assistance to families enrolled in the Family Pre-Supplemental Security Income and Social Security Disability Insurance programs until July 1st, 2019. It extends the suspension of an increase of the duration that families receiving TANF benefits may continue to receive assistance upon becoming ineligible due to employment or increased hours of work until July 1st, 2019. It declares emergency and is effective on passage.
Thank you. And we have Jill Gray and John Mullen. Is there anybody else that meant to sign up for this bill that did not? All right.
Thank you, Chair Gelzer and members of the committee. My name is Jill Gray. I'm one of the legislative coordinators at the Department of Human Services, and one of the programs I'm assigned to is the Self-Sufficiency Program, and that is who has brought you House Bill 2347. I know it has an incredibly long summary, but I think everybody understood that this bill is really about the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families Program, otherwise known as TANF. And very quickly, TANF provides cash assistance and employment services to families with children who are in extreme poverty. And by extreme poverty, we mean families have to be below 37% of the federal poverty level in order to be eligible for TANF. In order to put that into some real numbers, a family of three, so a parent and two children, can only have monthly income up to $616. If their monthly income is anything above $616, they are over income and not eligible to enter the TANF program. So we're talking about very low-income families when we're talking about TANF families. The TANF program provides cash assistance to help those families pay for their basic needs, as well as employment services to help parents find employment and maintain employment. It also provides some support services, such as help paying for childcare and transportation while the parents are engaged in those job preparation programs. That combination of support and services is really meant to help families achieve stability and then find employment and hopefully move on and up and off the TANF program. The bill has an incredibly long summary, but I think a very short little piece of history will help put into context what this bill is doing. So back in the 2007 session, Representative Kotek, now Speaker Kotek, had a bill, it was House Bill 2469, that really expanded and enhanced the TANF program. I think John has a much better description of what that bill did, but I will sum it up by saying it really shifted the focus of the TANF program to try and provide much more individualized services to families. The bill passed, and over the course of the next year or so, the department started implementing that bill, and I think was seeing some really good results from families. And then the recession started in Oregon, and as a budget reduction measure in 2009, the legislature put portions of the TANF program into suspension, and this bill is continuing those suspensions for another biennium. So in other words, we have had about five large sections of the TANF program in suspension starting in 2009, and they have remained there ever since, and we are once again putting those sections of the TANF program into suspension for another biennium. We knew that this was going to be a really tough budget situation this year, and that it would probably be the best thing to put those into suspension for another biennium. We are fully aware that this is not the plan for TANF to just permanently put these into suspension every biennium, and we've been talking with some of the advocates and others about this interim. That is on our list of to-dos that we need to figure out what it is that we, and the big we, not just the department, but advocates, legislators, others, what we would really like to see from the program so that we're not doing this every session from now on. But we knew that this was probably going to be something we had to do for this session. So that is where we are with that bill. I know that was an incredibly quick description of what's going on in the bill. I'm happy to turn it over to John and then take any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, John Mullen with the Oregon Law Center. First of all, I want to just extend the regrets of Philip Kennedy Wong. He had to be in another place to testify. And so just would say that Philip is the co-chair of the TANF Alliance, and I was involved in the creation of the TANF Alliance. And I want to say from the outset that we've had a very good working relationship with Jill and other members of the department. We actually get together once a week, either through a phone call or in person, to talk about progress in the TANF program. One thing that I'll do just to augment the history very briefly is that, Madam Chair, you remember the 2007 session as being your first and being a member of the committee when freshman Representative Kotek and Representative Maurer were the members of our work group, and I had the pleasure of being on the 2469 work group. And as you remember from history, the welfare reform bill passed in 1996, and we didn't really have a discussion about what the block grant, what the TANF program was that was going to be the Oregon version of TANF. And that's what 2469 did. As Jill has mentioned about the extend and suspend the bill that's before you today, we still have those goals in mind. But at the same time, we also want to acknowledge that the legislature passed House Bill 3535 in the 15th session to reinvest caseload savings back into the program. So there are a number of things we would like to see happen with TANF off in the future to engage in discussion with you. But today, this is simply a recognition of the history that the things that we created back in 2007 are still important, even though they're not funded. So that's the reason for coming before you today. And we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? It looks like there are no questions. Thank you very much. You did a great job. All right. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on House Bill 2347? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on 2347, and let's put this on the Monday work session agenda as well. And I closed that, right?
Yep.
So now we're going to open up a work session on, we're not going to open up a work session on that, we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 2302.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2302 expands the Oregon State Hospital's authority to apply for Social Security Disability Insurance and Supplemental Security Income and SNAP and other appropriate state and federal benefits on behalf of discharged patients. It declares emergency and is effective on passage. There is no expenditure impact and a minimal revenue impact.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2302 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 2302 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, it heads to the floor. Who would like to carry it?
I'll carry it.
Senator Olson will carry. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2302 and open up a work session on House Bill 2123.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2123 modifies the number of voting members of the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board that can serve on an ad hoc committee established by the board. There is no expenditure impact and no revenue impact on the bill.
Senator Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2123 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 2123 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, it heads to the floor, and Senator Knope is excused. Senator Montes Anderson, would you carry this one?
This is which one?
2123. Mm-hmm. LMA. All right, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2123, and that exhausts our agenda for today. Does anybody have anything for the good of the order? Oh, wait.
Madam Chair, I move that the rules be suspended to do whatever it takes to allow Senator Knope to vote on this bill.
Senator Dembrough has moved that the rules be suspended to allow Senator Knope to be allowed to vote on House Bill 2123. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Knope, would you like to enter a vote on House Bill 2123? Yes. Oh, wait. Reopen the work session, House Bill 2123.
Yes.
Please mark Senator Knope as yes. Now closing the work session in House Bill 2123, and we're adjourned. Okay. 23, and we're adjourned.